Lately, we've spoken to dietitian Orla Walsh about some of the real basics of what we put in our body. And this week, we're going to look at protein. What is it? How much do we need? And when do we not need it? Orla, how are you? Great to have you back in the studio.
Thanks for having me back.
Protein, it's a big kind of buzzword at the moment. Let's get down to basics. It must seem very basic to you, but it's easy to skip over why it's so important. What does protein do for our bodies, first of all?
Well, lots of things. You know, one food group does more than one thing. But if you were to kind of give it a box to fit in, it feeds our muscles and bones. And our muscles and bones are constantly breaking down and constantly rebuilding. And they need to be prompted to rebuild at their fastest pace. And protein does that. But that's, I suppose, the importance of protein has been discovered recently. And that's why it's a buzzword. Because it's not just how much protein we get per day, but it's how much protein we get kind of every 3 to 5 hours. In other words, at meal times. And, you know, as if we look at the Irish population, we are eating enough protein each day. But are we eating enough at breakfast and lunch in particular? Probably not. And why we need protein at each meal is it triggers our muscles and bones to rebuild at their fastest pace. And that makes the most of our muscles and bones, whether we're at the stage in life where we're growing or we're trying to maintain them. And we lose about 1% of our muscle every year after the age of 40.
Lovely.
So it's something that we need to preserve. And it's incredibly important as well if people are trying to reduce their body fat levels, that they want to reduce their body fat but preserve their muscle mass during that process. So, and I guess the benefit of that is you may remain strong, but also the muscles and bones are responsible for the bulk of our metabolism. You know, and that's why taller, bigger people need to eat more than smaller people.
Okay, gotcha. So what are some protein sources out there that you would recommend, just in a nutshell? What do you think?
So typically
is good?
People think of meat and fish, and
yeah,
quite rightly in some ways, because if you're talking about, like, if you take a bite of meat, that one bite of meat has got more protein in it than, you know, several handfuls of nuts. So that's why it's seen as the richest protein source. But there are rich protein sources that come from vegetables too. I guess when we look at protein, we talk about quality. We talk about quality in two aspects. One, how good is it in terms of how processed it is, you know? So we want to eat fresh stuff. We want to eat stuff that isn't processed where salt is added or other nasty stuff. And then we're talking about quality in terms of the protein quality within it. So when it comes to protein, if you imagine protein, it's built of these amino acids, which are building blocks of protein, and they go together in a line, a bit like a pearl necklace, and every single protein is different. But the quality of the protein depends on how many of these essential ones they have in it.
Gotcha.
So essential pearls in the pearl necklace, if you get me. And when you look at protein from animal sources, it has all the essential pearls. When you look at protein from vegetable sources, it doesn't always. Most of the time it doesn't.
Because there's always an argument that, oh, you go, oh, look at the silverback gorilla. He eats only vegetables and he's built like a tank. Obviously, he's getting enough protein there. But if you compare, let's say, the amount of protein in, you know, in vegetables and meat, you've just explained there, it is very different for what the type of protein.
It's not just how much protein is in a standard portion, but it's also the quality of the protein. And that's why soya protein gets you know, a lot of fanfare, because it has a lot of those essential pearls within that pearl necklace.
Okay.
But it is also the amount. So for example, if we need 20 to 40 grams of protein per meal, and that's what most people need, two-thirds of a tin of chickpeas gives you 10 grams.
Okay.
Like, you would have to eat an awful lot of chickpeas in order to get enough protein at that meal. But protein also comes from your vegetables and some of the other stuff that you might have with it.
Now, when you go into the supermarket, you see it everywhere on yogurts, on chocolate, added protein. I mean, is this just should we believe that? Is there much added protein? What do you think of those?
Yeah, there is added protein, and it's not always high quality protein.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think people give those products a lot of stick. But, you know, are they as good as natural food? No, I'm not going to stand here and say they're as nutritious. But when protein is added to food, protein, of all the macronutrients of carbs, fats and proteins, basically, it's the one that fills us up more and keeps us full. So it's really important for satiety. So if people want a snack that's going to fill the gap, that's why a protein-rich snack is so helpful. So these foods tend to be very rich in protein, at least 20 grams of protein in a serving, which, like I said, is enough to stimulate most muscles and bones to their maximum. But they tend to be quite sweet. So if you're looking for a sweet hit, they're shockingly sweet sometimes, and they give you lots of protein. So they do tend to fill that gap in more ways than one. That said, you know, the WHO came out recently and, you know, really backed didn't back the use of artificial sweeteners all the time. And they're creeping into everything we eat. And they're certainly in abundance in these protein products.
Okay, let's talk about the big tubes of supplements that I have in my house. And they're all over the place. What do you think about those synthetic proteins?
I'm not powdery? Against them, absolutely.
Okay.
I think people actually give them a hard time, but all they are is protein that you add water to, simply, which is similar to cordial, which is basically sugar that you add water to. And people don't mind if it's carbohydrate that you add water to, but up in arms when it's protein and you add water to it. They're absolutely fine. There are some brands that are better than others, so they've been batch tested to make sure that they don't contain any nasty stuff. And you know, you can go to, if you put into Google Inform Sport protein supplements, you'll get a whole list of them. With protein supplements, it's so easy to stimulate a young person's muscles to grow and repair to their maximum. So easy. And really, our protein requirements increase from the moment we're born to the day we die. So when we look at these protein supplements, I wish more older people were taking them.
Not younger people. Gotcha. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. So overall, what tips would you give listeners to keep in mind when trying to include protein in a balanced diet?
I would encourage people to focus on breakfast and lunch. Breakfast, you're probably not getting enough. Lunch, you're probably being inconsistent. So when it comes to protein sources, add in the likes of meat, poultry or fish, or something like tofu, tempeh or corn. Recognize that there's some in the likes of beans, peas and lentils, not as much as you think. And actually, nuts and seeds aren't a protein source. They're not a source of protein. Doesn't mean they're not extremely healthy for you. They're just a super healthy, tasty fat.
Okay, there we go. Orla, thank you so much. That was dietitian Orla Walsh. Where can people find out more and people follow you?
Orla Walsh Nutrition. So I have a website and I suppose Instagram and all the other socials.
Orla Walsh Nutrition, go and find her. Thanks for that.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.